questions. What does the term sanctity of life mean? And I remember discussing some of this with Tony and Chip at the board meeting, and that was my first reaction. So when I went to study this, it really led me to some information that I really hadn't planned on. So what does the sanctity of life mean? The term sanctity of life means to be carefully, needs to be carefully defined and considered. The sanctity of life refers to life of man or mankind. Perhaps sanctity of life just means that human life is special. Well, you know, according to many religious statements about sanctity of life, especially when it comes to abortion and those issues, the common use of this phrase in the world today is implied that all human beings are not only made in the image of God, but also have a soul which is immortal and continues to exist beyond this life. And this means that all human life is sanctified, but these tenets do not agree with Scripture. Let us look at the sanctity of life from a biblical perspective. The word sanctity is not found in our English Bibles. Sanctity is defined as holiness, or the state of being sacred or holy. This is according to Webster's dictionary. It also means saintliness. Holiness means separated from sin, which is the state of sinlessness. Sanctity is a word that's related to the following biblical terms. Sanctification. Sanctify. Sanctified. Sanctuary. Saint. Holy. Holiness. Godly, and godliness. These words have to do with being made to be being made clean or pure or holy, to be made a saint. It refers to a sacred place, a sacred thing. Noah Webster says that under the definition of holy, that a man is said to be holy when his heart is conformed in some degree to the image of God and his life is regulated by divine precepts. So, based on that, are all men or all lives holy or saintly or sinless as defined above? Can you still hear me, okay? All men are, in the carnal world, the word holy is rarely heard or read, except in the vulgar connotation. All men are biblically divided into two groups, those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Those in Adam remain in a state of sin. Holy or holiness fundamentally means separated from sin. Jesus Christ died for all sins, for all men, for all time. Only those in Christ are said to be sanctified, holy, saintly, or sinless. That's according to 1 Corinthians 15:45-49. Therefore, every human life has the potential to be sanctified either by faith or through faith. only by faith in God in the Old Testament, or faith in his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, in the New Testament, can one said to be sanctified. Therefore, it is obvious that not every human life since creation began has been or is sanctified. Sanctity means sinlessness. Sanctity of life means holiness of life, saintliness of life, or sinlessness of life. Therefore, the term sanctity of life cannot be applied to all human life. According to the United States Constitution, life is one of the inalienable rights of men, a right that cannot be restrained or replaced by human laws. Every human has the inalienable right to life, in other words, to be born, and then to be potentially sanctified. Every human life today is created in a state of Adam's transgression and can only become sanctified by a faith in the redemptive work of God and the sacrificial redeeming work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His death by the shedding of his blood for all sins, his burial for 3 days as proof of death, his resurrection to life from the state of death, and his ascension to the right hand of God, his Father, as satisfaction for his work of redemption for all sin, for all men. This sanctification is available to any human being who believes it. Now, Peter Redman taught a lesson at the Bible Forum in Peru, Indiana, on October 11th, 2020. It's entitled The Image and the Likeness of God. And you can find that on the internet under the BibleForum.podbean.com. And if you ever get a chance to find that and listen to it, I would greatly recommend it. Peter compares Genesis 1:26 with 1 Corinthians 15:39 through 49 by stating instead of the two words image and likeness meaning the same thing as Bullinger notes as a figure of speech called henteitas, in the likeness of our image, Redman believes the two words mean different things. Discern the things that differ, says Philippians 1:10. Peter shows that the translation could read, let us make man in our image, and after that, our likeness. So let's turn to Genesis 1:26. Because we're going to study this verse for a minute. Peter says, while the image means an outline or a shadow or a vain show, as that word is used in the scriptures, likeness means a carbon copy or a fill-in. Man is created in the image of God, and when I say God, I have an apostrophe S, or S in parentheses after that word God, is actually in the plural. It's Elohim is gods. Whenever I say God here, I mean gods in the plural. Man is created in the image of God, and only through Christ is he made in the likeness of God. So Peter believes that verse should say, and God said, let us make man in our image, and after that, our likeness. Well, if I may, I would like to take Peter's lesson one step further. So let's read Genesis 1, 26 through 27 again. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creepy thing, creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created them. And Ronnie talked about this last week. But I want you to listen to this very carefully. When Adam was created, and before they sinned, he and the woman were created in the image and the likeness of God. Man's physical shape or form is in the image of God, his shadow. But how are they made in the likeness of God? Were they created as invisible spirit beings? No. Could they have created things out of nothing? I don't think so. Were they omniscient, omnipresent, all those attributes of God? No. But they did have free access to the tree of life, which is for immortality. And they were created in a state of sinlessness. Sinlessness. That's a word we heard back in the definitions of sanctity. So they were created in a state of sinlessness like God, like gods. So their likeness could be their state of sinlessness. This was the original sanctity of life. So turn to Genesis 3:5 and notice how the serpent double deceived the woman. Genesis 3:5. Let's go to 3:4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, if the woman was aware, she could have said to this serpent, sir, according to Genesis 1:26, we are already as gods, after our likeness. Because they were created sinless. In this respect, they were created in the likeness of God. They were at one with God. They were already as gods. Adam and the woman were created in a state of sinlessness, in a likeness, a carbon copy, equal with gods. In the beginning, they were pure, they were holy, they were sanctified. After Adam and the woman sinned in Eden, a major change took place. They were no longer in the likeness of gods. Not only did they lose access to the tree of life and become mortal, they were no longer as gods, sinless. They were no longer in our likeness. They were no longer at one with God. Well, how can I prove that? Well, let's flip over to Genesis 5, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 5:1-3. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, sinless. Made he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. They were sinless. They were in the likeness of God. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, called his name Seth. What was Adam's own likeness? It was the state of sin. After the fall of Adam, all his descendants are begotten in the image of Adam, which is the physical image of God, but we are begotten after the likeness of Adam, that is, in the sin of Adam, in the state of sin. We are not created in the sinless likeness of God. Psalm 51:5 says, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin doth my mother conceive me. In Romans 5:12, Paul says, Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all that have sinned, for that all have sinned. Therefore, we, all men, are not begotten in the likeness of God, that is, sinless or sanctified. We are created in the physical image of God, but in the likeness of Adam, in sin. Because of Adam, we are born not at one with God in his likeness. That is why we need at-one-ment, atonement. Atonement means reconciliation. Reconciliation means, according to Noah Webster's dictionary, to call back into union. To call back into union. Here is the simplest gospel message you can hear. God wants us to be made in his likeness again by calling us back into union with him and to be at one with him. I'll repeat that. God wants us to be made in his likeness again by calling us back into union with him and to be made one with him. Turn to Romans 5:8-11. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the at-one-ment, the atonement. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. There's that word, reconciled us. In Ephesians 2:16, and that he might reconcile us, reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Colossians 1:19-20. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. Here's an interesting note, and I think I first heard this on a tape from Charles Welch. The Old Testament word for reconcile is Hebrews 37:22, kafar, or 37:24, kofar, which means to cover in bitumen or pitch. That's the word used with Noah in an ark. So the blood of Christ covers or hides our sins like the pitch covered the ark for Noah. Without the pitch covering the ark, it would have soon failed and sunk in the water. So God is spirit, and every human is made in the image of God in the flesh. But since Adam sinned, man can only be made sinless in the likeness of God through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is spirit slash human, that is God slash man, and Christ is the only one born or begotten equal to or like God. Philippians 2:6 tells us that through Paul, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Humans can only be sanctified through Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:45-49. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So that is why Paul said in Galatians 6:14-15, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. A new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, or new things come into being. So this is important. The sanctified man is a new creation, being not only in the image of God, but now also in his likeness in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. In Christ we are made sinless like God, like we were originally designed to be. The ultimate likeness will be accomplished in our resurrected state according to our respective dispensations. In Psalm 17:15, David said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake in with thy likeness. With thy likeness. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself? You guys know the scripture very well. And you know that Genesis is a counterbalance, is counterbalanced by Revelation. In the end, after all sin is destroyed, all of God's people will be sinless in the likeness of God, when God is all and in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be sanctified unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's sinlessness, righteousness. In the day of God, we will all be in his image and in his likeness again. So just to summarize so far, man was originally made in the image and likeness of God. But then when Adam sinned, he lost the likeness. He lost that at one moment with God. So through Christ, God is calling back his chosen people back to union with him, at one with him, in his likeness. So when we are saved, when we find salvation, we become sinless. And we are returned to the likeness of God. It is simple as that. I'm going to continue. I've got a few minutes here, so I'm going to continue with the foregoing understanding. Let us return to the term sanctity of life. When I was thinking about this term sanctity of life and anything that we might put in our TFT bylaws, some further thoughts came to my mind. Our beliefs concerning the sanctity of human life are found in the inspired words of God in the Holy Scriptures that we have translated, interpreted, and rightly divided. All things are created by the Son of God, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 1:2 says, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. John 1:3 says, all things are made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians 1:15-16, who is in the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature, for by him all things, for by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him. And that's what we believe under right division. Every creature, which is the Greek animos or the Latin anima, every creature created by the Creator becomes a living soul. Becomes a living soul. They don't have a soul, they become a soul. It's the Hebrew word nefesh. By the gift of the breath of, from God. And that breath is the word neshama. So every creature gets the breath. In Genesis 1:30, to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, nefesh, the breath, the soul, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. In Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath, neshama, of life. And man became a living soul, nefesh. human beings are set apart from other living creatures or animals in Christ's creation by two ways. Number one, all human beings are created by the Creator in a physical image of Christ, who is the image or shadow or phantom or resemblance or an outline of the invisible God, who is an invisible spirit. And they're created as either male or female. Nothing else, male or female. Other creatures are not made in the image of God. Number two, God is spirit and gives each human being upon his creation an invisible characteristic called a spirit, the Hebrew ruach, which is manifested in states of mind and feelings and thought, understanding, conscience, temperament, morality, will, and so on. All other creatures do not have this psychological spirit. Therefore, human beings are different than other breathing animals and are given dominion over other lower animals, according to Genesis 1:26 and 1 Corinthians 15:49. All human life is created by Christ, and that life begins at conception. And we find that in Psalms 119:73, 139:13-16, Ecclesiastes 11:5, and Jeremiah 1:4-5. I think we all know that, but those are for your reference. I'm not going to take the time to go through all those. Now, this conception is when the DNA of one parent combines with the DNA of the other parent to form a new and unique set of chromosomes of a new human life. Each human life is said to be in the image and likeness of its parents as a result of the combined chromosomes or DNA. Now, Peter Redman also recorded a lesson on Psalm 139 on January 2nd, 2022, and how that psalm could refer to our DNA and our creation. So if you can look that up and listen to it on a Bible Forum Podbean, January 2nd, 2022, I would recommend it. Peter's a deep thinker. I like him. He and I work off each other. We're both pretty deep thinkers. And a thought has come up that man has 23 pairs of chromosomes in his DNA. 23 is a strange number. What if Adam was created with 24 pairs of chromosomes in the beginning? 3 times 8. But lost a pair of chromosomes when he sinned. 8, or its multiple, is impressed on all that has to do with the Lord's name, or the Lord's people, and the Lord's work. That's the Companion Bible, Appendix 10, the number 8. It's been impressed on all that has to do with the Lord's name, the Lord's people, and the Lord's works. All human beings become living souls by the breath of God with a spirit given by God at conception. And all human beings die when that breath given by God ceases and that spirit given by God returns to God. Every human being is created according to a design and purpose of his Creator. Colossians 1:16. Every human being is a living soul which has a spirit, and that spirit has the potential to be made in the likeness of God through Christ and thereby sanctified or made holy by its Creator God, at which time the human body becomes a temple of the Creator God. Death has no power over this sanctified human spirit. Death has no power over the sanctified human spirit. Every human spirit, every human life created by God has the inalienable right to be born in the flesh in the image of God. And every life has the inalienable right to be potentially born of the Spirit of God and take on the likeness of God and become thereby sanctified. The soul or life of every living thing and the breath of mankind are in the hands of God according to Job 12:10. Therefore, we could say that we believe that the creation and or termination of human life should be limited to the design, purposes, and will of the Creator, and should not be usurped by the will, design, or purpose of the creature, especially when that human life is or becomes physically or mentally helpless, such as the unborn, the undesired, the unaware, the unhealthy, the unstable, or the unconscious. Because every human life has the potential to be sanctified, as stated above, we especially object to the harvesting and use of human body parts or fetal tissue for the commercial purpose and financial benefit of others. And we object to the artificial creation or control or termination of human life from conception of that life to its death, outside the natural design by the Creator. So, just the study of the term sanctity of life brought out some deeper things that I had never thought about before. Just like to share those with you. And I have this in written form if anybody would like a copy. We can mail it out to you. So since I didn't begin with prayer, I'll end with prayer. Lord, we thank you for these words of your truth. We love your truth. We love to study your word. It is the most exciting thing that we can do. We thank you for the wisdom and understanding and the knowledge to know your will. And we bless all the people in this room and those who hear this message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.